Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here with, of course, our master favorite gardener, Lance Swigert. How are you, Lance?
Good, good.
Guru gardener, as I like to say, with the dirty hands.
With the dirty hands.
Coming on. And guess who's back in the saddle?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Lulu. Welcome home, darling.
Yay, I'm back.
Good to have you here. You know, you missed pledge drive last week.
Oh, I know, and I have to pledge.
Okay, good
so
deal.
I'll get that done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And anybody else that wants to pledge, we would be happy to take your call. And Jeff is in the control room to take your calls for gardening as well. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. We realized last week, Lulu, this is our fifth summer in the call-in show format.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we're crushing
Cinco. Cinco.
Cinco Somo.
Cinco Somo, As the Worm Turns. Or I heard somebody call it As the Worm Burns the other day. They might be making compost.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. My chickens have discovered the worms in the compost. And they... Oh my God, they've made a cavern under the top part is all kind of crusted over from their chicken poop, and mm-hmm. they've gone under it, and they're having the best time.
The Volkhausen Caverns mm-hmm. right here yep. in Paonia.
Right there in the
Go
backyard.
Go chickens. Yep. Well, good to have you back, Lulu, and just fresh in from the other side of the hill. So.
Yep.
Thanks for being here.
Yep. I was there the other day skiing. It was really fun.
One side to the other. Mm-hmm. And here we are gardening.
Yep. Good deal.
Good deal. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Lance, you were doing something today, spraying, a dormant spraying. Can you explain what that is for folks?
It's dormant oil, and it's done when the trees are dormant. And what it is, it's the oil suffocates the scale aphids or any of the insects that live in the bark over winter in the bark or in the tips, you know, the growing tips and stuff like that. So you really do have to work, especially on the bark, of getting this dormant oil on there. And you try to do it so that, of course, there was wind yesterday would have been impossible. Today, it wasn't that bad. And, of course, you want to do it without the threat of rain, which is doesn't seem to be happening too much.
Yeah. Is that certain
the
trees?
Threat.
Very, definitely a threat.
Bring it.
Mm-hmm. It's all trees.
Trees. All trees.
Yeah.
Fruit trees.
All fruit trees. You can do it. If you have aphid problems on trees, regular, you know, maples or, you know, elms or any ornamentals, yeah, it works.
Okay.
And there's flowering plums and forsythias and lilacs. You know, something that... You know, it's not going to hurt.
Right. I don't do it, though.
Well, you get here right when dormancy is
right?
Like
you know,
shedding
yeah.
skin.
My goal now is to go up and see what the irrigation's looking like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And being irrigation looking like, is it not a pretty picture? Or are we going to run out of water or... What's the plan? What's the plan, Stan?
It's not going to be a long irrigating season.
Uh huh. And are you making any special plans because of that? Are you?
Well, I'm irrigating out of a well, and mm-hmm. so this year is not going to be the problem. If it's a dry year again next winter,
sure.
then I'll have to be. I'm going to I'm going to collect a lot of the mulching material.
Okay, mulch. I know that's Jer's.
There's some other little tricks you could do. This is a funny one. And it was the old landlords that grew up on the plains out of Pueblo and Lyman out there.
Yeah.
And they would stick the tin cans that coffee came in, number 10s.
Yeah.
They'd punch the holes in the bottom, bury those. And once a week or twice a week, they'd fill those up with water. And that was for the cucumbers and squash and tomatoes.
Huh.
And it went right into the ground. It wasn't even exposed to the air.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's
just
clever.
Something, you know, yeah. So,
yeah.
And you could use 1 gallon potting plants, pots.
You could do
mm-hmm.
yeah,
sure.
anything
creative,
like that.
You know, that's like those, you take a water bottle, like a plastic or glass, Coke bottle or big bottle, big mm-hmm. soda bottle or a big bottle, and you, with a small hole though and a small neck, and you fill it with water and turn it upside down in your pot, and it gradually waters. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those are great things to be talking about all the time, not just in this water year, but we
it's
going to
be dicey
time.
For mm-hmm. sure. The 2001-2002 drought, or actually it was 2002 mostly, I watered, I had 5 gallon buckets under the sinks.
Oh,
and I
used all the gray water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, right. You do that, Lance, as a regular habit, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's going to the compost piles.
Okay.
Yeah, but I collect the gray water, and it goes straight to the compost piles.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be water while you can, and then
pray for rain.
Yeah, and mulch the
bejubes out of
bejubes out of everything. Yeah, just mulch.
Yeah, and mulch would be materials for mulching again, or
well, anything organic. Mm-hmm. You know, grass cuttings, leaves, spoiled hay, straw, whatever you can get your hands on.
Cardboard.
There you go.
You know, just anything that's
breakdown.
Yeah.
Easy.
Planks,
newspapers.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and with cardboard and newspapers, it's a weed barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that one. Weed barrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
number one choice.
It was very trendy a while back to use old carpeting too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that works.
As mulch or as weed barrier?
Yeah,
or both. Really?
Yeah.
Old
carpeting.
You turn it. Did you turn it upside down?
Yeah.
Because the places I've done it for people, we turned it upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Some of it doesn't. It never goes away. I mean, I don't know what it can't be that great for your soil, but I don't think it's god awful either.
Yeah, we did it on pathways.
That's what I did too when I was trying to kill off big sections of weeds.
There you go.
On the backyard and things, that's what I did.
Yeah, big plot. That sounds perfect for a big plot.
Yeah.
527-486-8166, KVNF now. Lots going on right now, and everybody's anticipating. And you have stuff already planted, Lance? Charred poppies?
Charred poppies. I replanted the poppies. They didn't come up. Sometimes that happens. So. Mm-hmm.
How long did you wait on that before you decided that?
Well, they should have been up. They should have been up 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they make an appearance pretty.
Yeah, and so I just replanted, and that's okay.
Yeah,
is that it happens. I'm trying to think of what else. The spring garlic's growing really good, and I did. Oh, I planted. I mislabeled some buckets of beets. And so we're doing
beets.
A test to see if we can figure out which beet those really are. Golden beet,
That's great.
2 foot sections of golden beets and possibly Chioggia beets. I will know in a few weeks.
Oh my gosh. I think we need a bookie here to set some odds on the bucket of beets.
Bucket of beets. I was,
Chioggia.
I was scanning my freezers and realizing that I really have to get on it to eat everything that's left in the freezers before
you
I start
plan.
Putting. Yeah, but then on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, if it doesn't rain, maybe I just won't plant any of those dang beans, you know, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
You don't take much over to the other side?
I do, but there's still a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I still got quite a bit of them.
Storage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's still plenty there.
Yeah.
Yep. Good deal.
Yeah,
I haven't
planted anything. I've got big divide and conquer plans, but I have to get the water on first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything. It's drier than a popcorn fart. Am I allowed to say that?
Popcorn fart? Yes.
Okay. It's drier than a popcorn fart out there. I'm telling you, it's really dry.
Yeah. And so maybe that's a good point, Lulu. What should we do about that? And some of those leaves that never broke down in our gardens, our perennial gardens, should we be watering that? Or what's your thoughts on that?
I would.
You guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can water. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking if you've got water now, you might as well use it because.
Yeah.
The place, I was up on Stucker Mesa. That's where I was spraying, and somebody was running some early Row Crap Creek water, and nobody was using it. So the people that I was working for, they grabbed it all, it's going to be off in the next day or so. Mm-hmm. They asked permission. It's not like they, you know, just went and did it, but they were watering.
Right.
And I've watered, not last week I didn't do, but I've watered the entire, wherever I can, 3 times already this spring.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're lucky.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm getting my hose out tonight when I go home.
Yeah.
And I have my sprinkler system, really easy to drain. Just, you know, put the lowest hose open down there, and it takes the whole thing out.
Right. You do that self-draining. Don't have to blow it out.
Yeah. Thing. No.
Yeah, but it's supposed to get warmer all week, so I'm on it. I'll figure it out here.
I'm not going to worry about the sprinkler freezing, should I, at this point in time?
Maybe.
Maybe.
If it's above ground, yeah. I actually drain. I have those, I don't know if you've seen them, those sprinkler things that I put the frog eyes on and pull up the bed, rows and stuff. I drain those every night.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not going to turn.
I'm not worried about the hoses, but I drain those because that's... Yeah. Oh, that's $35 a pipe and glue and fittings.
And a lot of work to fix it up. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm just going to use the hose, hook up to the irrigation water, but not run it through the pump and the sprinklers yet.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, do you already have irrigation water running?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to go check because, I don't know, somebody said, well, the Stewart ditch is on. So... I wanted to get going on getting the existing pipe that we draw off of better situated so that we don't have such problems with it silting up.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's already on, that plan's out the window.
I hear you there, sister. Uh-huh. I have a lot of silt to get rid of before that ditch turns on.
Whatever.
Yep, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
you
get
do,
it done.
You just, yeah. Right. You know, figure it out. Do something else.
Figure it out. 527-486-8186, KVNF now. What's blooming out there? The apricots on the side of the road.
Apricots, plums.
A Nanking cherries, the Nanking, sand cherries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so pretty. Gosh.
The daffodils.
Daffs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're starting.
I've been looking for my violets. Either they've been and gone or they've decided, I don't know, they want to do something else, whatever.
Do you have deer in the yard?
No, not too many.
Does deer like to eat those guys?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They're sweet. Why wouldn't you? I like to eat them.
Who doesn't like to eat violets?
Right? No, those are the purple ones that the French make the candy out of. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the French aren't stupid, you know. They eat anything. Snails, slugs. They're cool. Violets.
and here's something, because I know you have grapes, Lulu, and Lance says it's time to prune grapes. It's okay to start, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's time to start.
Yeah.
So you better get on it.
Mm-hmm. And
welcome home.
Yeah, game on. It's like, dun, 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 dun. You know, how much can you get done in a day? Tell us again the theory of how far back to prune.
Tell us.
Oh, you got the trunk, the horizontals.
Yeah.
And, then you have the shoots that come up. It's the two buds.
Yeah. What? Wait. Two what buds?
The growth from last year that came up.
Yeah.
You want to go cut that back to just two buds.
All the growth from last year?
Yep.
Whoa.
Santa Maria.
You kind of like that, Lulu. That's your whack and hack.
I know, but I did that last year. It's a Concord. Maria. It's a Concord grape, you know. So its goal in life is to make as much of itself as possible.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you prune that hard on a low water year, it's going to want to really grow like hell, and it's not going to have any water.
Yeah.
So you might not prune it as hard this year. Finesse. This is finesse for the
finesse.
Season.
This is the season of finesse, not the witch. Finesse. This is the season of finesse. Well, it's
not
true.
Not as hard, low water year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what I'll do is just really, as usual, but I try to clear out as much of the dead stuff as I can.
Yeah, keep the dead out.
Yeah. And, you know, just hope for the best. It's going to be one of those years. Just do what you can and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Something will grow for you.
Something's going to happen.
You know,
something unusual.
Yeah.
Since we're on this water short year, plant a spring garden and not a fall garden. spring
yeah,
and early summer.
Yeah, there you go.
Early spring and early summer, and take the late summer and fall off.
Yeah, go to the beach. Go where it's
you
raining.
You don't want to go to the beach.
No, I want to go where it's. I'm going to want to go where it's raining if I haven't seen any rain by then. I'm going to go stand in the rain somewhere. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, 527-4868-1866 KVNF now, because we know you're out there.
And yeah, just waiting to talk to us, because we're so talkable.
What about raspberries? Love to think about berries time of year and until the fall.
Yeah.
Berries.
Well, I've noticed that they're just starting to grow.
Raspberries.
Raspberries. And this is when I would prune. You can tell how much is died back by the new shoots coming in. And that's where you're going to tip them. And that will be this spring's crop. But not only do you tip them, but if it's a really thick stand, you'll thin them at the ground to about every 7 inches. And that gives room for the new shoots to come up for possibly a fall crop. And also it's next year's spring crop.
Yeah.
So tip
them.
Go
at it, I guess, huh? Really go at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to... You have to be judicious, and
You can do that with roses, too, now that you can see the color is up in the stems.
Oh, ready to go on roses?
Yeah, more or less. I mean,
I've pruned some roses already.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your
And again, you're going to stimulate them to grow, so you could have a problem. I mean, if the temperature really drops, everything's whatever.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, you know.
But... Usually it's 2 weeks before the last frost, and who knows how it is these days as things change.
Yeah, things are changing a lot.
You know, but if you have a good south face and or protected area, then you could prune some.
Yeah, prune them down to the green wood and whatever further you want to go from there. I need my – Andrew Cranson, are you listening? You need to come over and prune my trees for me, darling. I'll give you a call.
All right, she's got a list.
Yeah, I do.
Yep. Okay, John in Hotchkiss is on the line with a question. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. What's going on?
I had a quick question about strategies for potatoes. I've been, I'm kind of in the dobies. I've got some heavy clay, and I've been really intrigued by the growing potatoes in the straw, where you just kind of, you know, work a little bit of compost in, and you spread your seed potatoes out, and you kind of keep them mulched with straw. I have a large supply of straw I'm not using this year, and I was just wanting to know what your personal experiences were with that method, or if you've tried it, or what you think.
I've done it, and it works really good. And, you're going to only put about 2 or 3 inches of straw on top in the beginning. And because if it goes on too thick, the potatoes won't grow through it.
Yeah, they don't. They...
And as it grows, every 6 inches, I'd put more. When the plant gets 6 inches or more tall, I'd put some more on, up to 12 inches of mulch.
Okay.
Yeah. And
super.
Yeah. And being, this is something I was going to mention, this potatoes actually like it more on the dry side. So this is actually a crop that could be planted well this year.
Oh, yeah. Potatoes.
Because they don't, we overwater them.
And then they get that scale and they get
and
funky.
Technically, potatoes only need to be watered about once every 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not this, you know, water every week type thing.
Good to know.
Okay.
What kind of container are those in? Did he mention that?
No, you're just
not in a container. Yeah,
no,
I
just
put them on the ground.
On the ground, okay.
Yeah,
on the ground, not in the ground. On the ground.
On the ground,
yeah,
right.
What I've done in the past is I actually mulched everything and then dug holes in the mulch.
Okay.
I've done it that way.
I like that method.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, I'm always intrigued by that, too.
I figure I won't lose as many, you know, because it seems like you dig them up and you spear about a third of them.
Right.
And you'll find that they're very clean. Because they're growing in the mulch. They won't be dirty.
Yeah. Great. Cool. Great great to hear you're doing that, John.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For the call.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Bye.
That's what it's all about, is trying stuff.
Yeah, you know,
try
it.
Method sounds.
Try it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure it out.
And you've got early potatoes planted, Lance? Or?
It's ready, and I'm going to plant them this weekend. There's a couple projects that I... of planting, and one is the potatoes, early potatoes, And the other one is I'll plant the first bed of carrots. And,
oh,
I'll also plant my onions from seed also.
For seed, from seed?
No. This is actually an onion crop.
Yeah.
The onions for seed are already planted.
Right.
Okay. Super.
Yeah.
Projects, here we go.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It just never stops once it gets going.
Hey, Len in Hotchkiss is on the line. Good evening, Len.
Howdy. I came in late and heard you talking about mulch and drought and how to pull the plants through. And one thing I might suggest for your fruit trees is just pruning the suckers out of them as they develop during the summer.
Yeah, the water they call them, the old term for them is water sprouts.
Yeah, water sprouts, suckers, whatever. But they're going to be transpiring water and growing like crazy.
Yeah, keep those cut down. Good observation.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, just take them out of there. It won't hurt the tree at all, and it'll keep it small. So,
all right, prune the suckers.
You can do it 2-3 times.
Yeah.
And whenever you see them going, just take them out. So,
there you go. Perfect.
All right, thanks
a
lot.
Thanks, Len. Great tip there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another great tip.
Yeah. I can see them just sucking water up.
They,
you know,
rampant growth.
Right.
So they got to have it.
They've got to have it, yeah.
Keep your garden clean. Keep that extracurricular activity.
I looked at my pear tree and I thought, man, that really needs good hacking and whacking.
Now she's getting excited.
Yeah, now I'm getting excited, yeah.
All right, 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. Thank you for your calls. And let's talk a little bit about companion planting.
Oh, how fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly done for what?
Well, it's space saving and it's also insect.
Okay, insect.
Yeah, and part of the for the insect or disease is most of those diseases come from monocropping.
Yes,
one
exactly.
One straight row, all big plot of potatoes, big plot of tomatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3,000 acres of wheat, and you wonder why you've got rust.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. So you break that up and have diversity.
Right.
You know, and it mimics the, not to an extreme extent, but it is mimicking the natural ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it is. And there's many different combinations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to hear what it says here in the Wikipedia? I happen to have my phone out, so I whipped it out. It says, companion plants assist in the growth of others by attracting beneficial insects, repelling pests, or providing nutrients, shade, or support. They can be part of a biological pest control program.
Yeah.
We all need
a companion
plant, don't we? I mean, that sounds
you know, right?
lovely.
I mean, you know, I love that it's, and, you know, good for the support of the other plant. This, mm-hmm. you know, you can do it, man. Come on, you know.
Yeah, there's some simple ones,
basil
and garlic and tomatoes. They go well, and dill will go good with tomatoes, or dill I plant pretty much with all my brassicas, all the cabbage and kale and collards or kohlrabi, they repel the white cabbage moth.
Oh, wow.
Or mask the smell, you know, because they're so strong smelling.
Mm-hmm.
They're also, the umbriel family is all the, attracts the beneficial insects.
The tiny little, those little parasitic wasps.
Yeah. So you have, umbriel family is parsley.
Parsley, lovage, and
carrots.
Dill,
cilantro, parsnips.
I mean, it's a huge family, and it's all the plants that have those multi-flowered flat umbrella-like umbrella. You know, just think that.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know,
fennel.
Yeah, fennel. I'm trying to think of what other ones. The three sisters, squash, corn, and beans.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Native American ones that they did that.
All the marigolds and
marigold,
calendulas.
Yeah, marigolds for
nematodes. Yes.
The marigolds, their main thing is nematodes.
Yeah.
A lot of these are the cold hardy plants that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, really, a lot of them are things you've already planted.
Yeah.
If you wanted to plant right now.
Yeah, you could. What's another one? Nasturtiums for squash.
Oh, yeah.
For squash bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get them. You can get them like the umbrals. You can get them so that you've got something blooming all the time.
All the time.
Oh, wait. What's the first one? The sweet Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you
a
love
great
that
one.
Stuff,
yeah,
don't you?
I love that mm-hmm. stuff.
You have a lot of this in your garden.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It almost is.
And it's just the second or third year of the patch of bronze fennel.
I have that too. And that's amazing. And it flowers. It continues all year long.
Yeah, it will continue.
Yeah.
And you've companion planted that.
It's actually underneath or on the side of the white apricot.
Oh, okay.
It was a good spot to put it in. Let's see how it works, and it's still there.
It gets big. It gets really big. It doesn't get as big as a lovage, but it's big, and I want to move it away from where it is and get it going in some on the borders. I mean, that's how I do my insect control. I just have this border areas where I've got everything.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then I love the zinnias, so they're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm got my row already set up with the zinnias.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh. Sunflowers will stunt just about everything in the garden except for corn and cucumbers. Yeah, so
plant them alone.
Alone. Uh-huh. You know, I plant the sunflowers with the corn, but they'll make potatoes have blight.
Sunflowers will make potatoes have blight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. And then the other one that is legumes are not planted with onions. So your peas and beans are not planted near the onion family.
Yeah, or where you had onions the year before.
Because mm-hmm.
they translate diseases to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to keep them away.
So those are just... Just keep them away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some great tips. You wouldn't know unless you really thought about
it. And there's plenty of information. There's books on it. I have a book here. I wish I had my other one because the other one is devoted to companion planting. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it. So
I should. Right. I've got both of the carrots love tomatoes and
carrots love tomatoes, right?
Yeah, yes. and
roses love
garlic.
Roses love garlic, right?
Yeah, and those both of those books are really easy reads. They're entertaining. They're a wealth of information.
Mm-hmm. Kind of give you the well-rounded
feel
for it.
Yeah, but we were talking about this earlier, though. There's some people that suggest companion planting, and you just go. How do you do that? You know, you're going to put mint with your cabbage? Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, the other one was tansy.
tansy.
These are extreme perennial weeds. I mean, I have tansy, and it's in the hedge grove away from everything.
Right.
You know,
it's isolated over there.
And the mint is underneath the fruit trees, and that's where it's staying. It's not going into my annual garden beds.
Right.
No.
Right. That would be a mess.
I mean, that's where I was going with it. You know, you get these perennial weeds in your annual beds, you're doomed.
Right.
Don't do it.
Hey, really quick, Lance, you have a pet peeve and it's that time of year.
Oh,
and I want you to talk about it.
Yeah, another pet. I really dislike agricultural burning.
Uh-huh. And for what reason? Tell us about that.
The main reason is very polluting. You know, here's this beautiful spring days and we have to breathe and look through smoke. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it's horrible for your soil. You're burning up organic matter and leaving salt. That's what you're doing.
Mm.
And another thing that people are doing, I see this along fence lines, is, oh, we're burning the weeds. No, what you're really doing is opening up the land to have more perennial weeds.
Mm.
You know, that's what these perennial noxious weeds, that's what they're for, is to heal the earth. And eventually the perennial grasses or trees or shrubs
come in.
Yeah, sure.
So if you keep on burning it off, all you're going to have is perennial weeds.
Yeah.
You're never going to have a chance. So
Let them do their job, right?
So if you do need to, like I saw some fence lines burnt, and if that's really that bad, why don't you go in there? If you put some pigs in there, put some goats in there, put some sheep in there, or take a weed whacker and cut it all down, let it lie on the ground.
You know what? That's weed whacking is, it doesn't get enough credit.
Right. Yeah. Tell us about that, Lula, because you love that stuff.
Yeah, hacking and whacking, man. I mean, if you don't let it go to seed, you know, and if it's not a vicious root spreader type of weed, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. You're going to mm-hmm. get rid of it.
Right.
And
right.
even if it is a vicious root spreader, if you keep whacking away mm-hmm. at the part of the plant that sends the energy to the roots, eventually you're going to win.
Yeah.
Just and, keep at it.
And lots of these weeds don't like rich soil.
Yeah, that's the other thing, yeah.
And you're burning up the organic matter and blah, 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 but the richer the soil gets, the less those weeds can grow.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So burning, not always a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. We've come to the end of our half
already.
Hour already. And before we run, I want to let you know about an event happening this Friday morning at 9 a.m. in Norwood. And this is from the Sam Miguel piece of the Colorado State University Extension Office. And it's on ornamental shrub pruning. It's a demonstration.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. 327-4393 if you want some more information on that. But it's this Friday, April 6th, 9 a.m. till noon at the San Miguel County Fairgrounds in Norwood.
Okay, and I have one more thing to add.
Do it.
Okay, your summer reading list. Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. If you don't know that book, if you've never heard of Rachel Carson, you need to do this. And I want it in every classroom, in every high school classroom. People need to read that book.
All right. Thank you, Lulu.
Sure.
Put that out there in the universe. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And we will be back next Tuesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening. Glad to have you back, Lulu. Looking forward to it, Lance.
Yeah, we'll have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
A shine to, oh, who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.